You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Hey, we're continuing our series, Suitcase, Everyone Has Baggage. As we've determined over the last few weeks, none of you have baggage, but all of you have full suitcases. So none of you are wanting to admit that you have baggage, but you have full suitcases. I get it. And as we've been talking about different parts of different sections and different kinds of baggage that we carry with us, this morning we're thinking about this idea of the baggage that we carry when it comes to our expectations that we place upon God and how we relate to Him. We're going to be looking at the story of Jonah. And Jonah had expectations of God, and God actually met them, and it made Jonah mad. And how that sometimes is true for us as well. But most of the time it seems like, hey, we want to be God. And when God doesn't let us be God, we're disappointed and we're angry. And usually whenever we try to be God out of our own life and in control of our own life and we make a mess of it, then we get desperate and reach out and say, okay, we're really not very good at being God. We'll let you be God again. Anybody ever been there? All right, two people. That's awesome. Those are the two people that are traveling as well. So if you want to travel, maybe you need to figure this out, okay? All right, so we're going to be looking at the story of Jonah. There's four chapters in Jonah, and so many of you have maybe you've grown in and around church, and so you've kind of maybe heard this story. Hopefully you gain something new from it today, a new perspective on Jonah, but also your story in the midst of that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jonah. It's in the Old Testament, way back in the back there. He's considered a minor prophet, and here we go. So Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Listen fast because there's four chapters. Y'all ready? Jonah 1:1 says this, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai." Now we know from the stories and stuff that Jonah's hometown was very near Nazareth. And so we know Nazareth because there was this really cool guy that we know that came from Nazareth. So he grew up near there. He was a Hebrew, okay? He was Jewish. And God spoke to him and it says, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." Now, here's one of the things you have to understand is Jonah is a Hebrew. He's an Israeli. And so one of their great enemies at this time are actually the Assyrians. And so Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. So a few weeks ago, we've talked about, you know, the Philistines and some of the other enemies. In the current history of Israel, when Jonah is a prophet, the Assyrians are the main enemy of Israel. And so here God is saying, listen, I see the wickedness of the people of Assyria who are your natural enemies. And I, because I see their wickedness, and Jonah's like, yeah, I see their wickedness too. Because they are barbaric. They hurt our people. They harm our people. They've enslaved our people. They do all kinds of things. And so Hebrew people at this time do not like the Assyrians for natural reasons. And so here God is saying, I see the wickedness of your enemy, and I want you as a prophet of God not to go to your own people, but to go to your enemy people and to share the gospel with them. Go into the heartbeat of your enemy and to share the gospel. I've seen their wickedness. Now, here's another cool thing is they worship the god of Dagon, which we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. And Dagon, one of the things that's new that I want to give you for not new, but new for you, is that Dagon, as we know, is a god, a false god. And one of the things about Dagon is he's half fish, half man. So the Assyrians worship Dagon, who's half fish and half man. We'll see why that's important in a little bit. But they also worship Nanshi, and Nanshi was the female goddess of the sea. So the two main gods that the Assyrians worship are gods of the sea and of the fish. And so here Jonah, we're going to see how this plays out in the story. Jonah is told to go to the Assyrians, your enemy, go to the heartbeat of the Assyrians and present the gospel that God wants them to repent of their wickedness. Now, that's a hard call, isn't it? Like, go to the people, go to those people. Those people that you don't like, that you're natural. I mean, I want you to go there, and not just to any of them. I want you to go to the heart of the city where the king lives and to present the gospel. So this is not only my enemy, but I can die. So you can see the call on Jonah's life. And so Jonah does what so many of us do. He packs up his bags and he's like, let's go. Show me the flight plan, right? No. But Jonah, or but Chris, but Susan, But Tom, I mean, this is our story here. But Jonah got up and went where? In the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. And it's like, you can't get away from the Lord. But this is our mindset. You see how ludicrous that is that he's going to get up and go to the opposite direction of the Lord. It's like, well, the Lord's not here. He's everywhere. But I'm going to get away from him. When and why have you run away from the Lord? When and why have you run away thinking you can get in the opposite direction? Well, Jonah went down to Joppa, was with the port city, and he goes to Joppa. He finds a boat that's going to Tarshish, and I'll show you in a second where that is. He bought a ticket, hoping to get away from the Lord. Here, you see the little red arrow here. It's in Persia pointing to Nineveh, all right, current day Syria, Iraq, all that kind of different stuff. And then you can see where he's hoping to go all the way over there to Spain and Tarshish. He's trying to go 3,000 miles away, as far as he can possibly go to run away from the Lord. Anybody? God, I'm going to go as far as I can possibly can from your ways, from your desires for my life. So he gets on the boat, and in the middle of the sea, a storm comes up. Here's what's interesting is Jonah is not affected by the storm. Jonah's story tells us he's actually in the bottom of the ship. He's sleeping. It kind of reminds me of Jesus and his disciples, that a storm comes up and Jesus is napping. And they're like, Jesus, there's a storm. And he's like, what? What? And Jonah's kind of the same way. He's down below. He's sleeping. A storm comes up. But can you imagine a storm that is so strong that regular seafaring men are afraid of that storm? That has to be quite the storm. And it says the storm kept getting harder and harder and harder. So the winds kept blowing. The waves kept coming. And these guys are like, something is up. This is a storm that's different from all the other storms. And Jonah's asleep. And so in the midst of this, they've been praying to their gods. And they realize, hey, our gods are not answering us. And so they go down to the guy that's down below that's sleeping. And they're like, how can you be sleeping? Get up. Who's your God? Begin praying to him. Because we're about to die. And so Jonah does. This is what they do next, what good people do to find out who's wrong. They cast lots. So in other words, they play dice to find out who's the one that's guilty. And I don't understand how God does this, but they played lots. And guess what? It points at Jonah. And so God uses an unusual way to point out to who's the one that's not doing, who's not being obedient. And Jonah's like, hey, it's me. And they begin to ask. They say, hey, who are you? Where are you from? Who's your God? Tell us your story, because we want to know why these storms are happening and why you're being disobedient to your God and what God will do this kind of thing. And Jonah says, well, listen, my name is Jonah. I am a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, and the God Yahweh is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of the land. He's the creator of the heavens. He's creator of the sea, and he's in control of all of these things. And so they're like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And so they said, well, why did you run? And he said, well, listen, God told me to do something, and I don't want to do it. And so I'm running in the opposite direction. And so they say, well, then what does your God want us to do with you? And Jonah, in the midst of this, in Jonah 1:12, he says, throw me into the sea. How many of y'all would sign up for that? Like, I'm running in the opposite direction. There's a storm. You guys figure it out. I would join the rowing crew and be like, let's get to the land. And they're like, hey, we're not going to do this. And so they honored Jonah. They saw his life and they're like, hey, no. And so the scripture says, but those guys rowed harder trying to get to the land because they didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. And then finally, when they realized in their effort, they were not going to get to land, they looked at Jonah, they prayed to Yahweh and said, hey, we ask for forgiveness for throwing Jonah overboard, and they throw him overboard. The sailors pick Jonah up. You can imagine this with me. Heave ho. They throw him over into the raging sea. Look at this. And then the storm stopped at once. What? Stopped at once. And then what's their response? These guys, they were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. That's what I want you to catch. God used Jonah's disobedience to display his glory. Jonah's running in the opposite direction. He wasn't even supposed to be on the boat. And the Lord showed up and brought people unto himself in the midst of the storm. They threw Jonah over. This is his lowest point of his life. And Jonah's disobedience, God uses for his glory. How many times in our lives has God used our disobedience and it still points back to his glory? I mean, I've had coffee with you, I've had lunch with you and dinner with you, and we're talking about your story, and time after time after time, you're like, man, I was here, but God. I was here, but God. I mean, that is it. God uses our disobedience even for his glory. His glory will not be thwarted, which shows that he's God, that he can use our failures for his glory. He can pick up stuff off the ash heap, off the garbage stuff, and go, this is for my glory. That's part of our story. And then here's part of our stories as well. As he's thrown over and the storm quiets, you can imagine he's sinking. He even prays about it in a minute, but he's sinking and he's thinking, this is it. And the one who calmed the storm then arranges for a fish. That's what the scriptures says. Arrange for a great fish. Not a whale, actually. The word for whale is a whole different word, so theologians still debate it. I don't really care. A fish, a whale, a donkey. He can do whatever he wants to do. He did what he did. It's a miracle. He swallowed a guy, and Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in this whale or fish. Now, this, again, I think kind of ties back to Jesus. Jesus talks about it. I will spend 3 days and three nights in darkness and come out of that. And so Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the midst of that. And then in the midst of that, we see in Jonah chapter 2, it doesn't tell us if it's day 1 or day 2 or day 3, but at some point while he's in the whale, he begins to pray. In a moment of desperation. Now, I don't know what it was like. I mean, he's in the whale. I don't know if they're going around and the whale's going, gloop, 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 you know, like whatever's happening. And he's like figuring out, like, what did his ears do when he went low? I don't know. Did he just go over the top? I mean, those are cool things we can get to heaven and say, God, like, talk to us through the GPS coordinates of Jonah. Like, what happened there? Did he go down to the deal and he like, ooh, there's an octopus. You know, I mean, I don't know what all happened. But at some point while he's in the whale, he realizes this is a desperate situation. And so much like us in his desperate situation, what's he do? He realizes, hey, I've come to the end of myself. I've tried to be in control. I've gone in the opposite direction. And now here I am and I have nothing else left at my disposal except prayer. And so it was this moment of desperation in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 and following. That whole chapter is Jonah praying and saying, listen, I am desperate for you. I literally have felt the seaweed around my neck before you brought this fish to save me. My life was slipping away and I remembered the Lord. As we've talked about throughout this baggage series, that word remembered in this context is a word of repentance. Is that here I'm at this place, I think I'm in control, and then God, you stop me in that moment, and I realize my life, my agenda, my purpose is slipping away, and in that moment I realize I'm not God and you are. I remember that you are the Lord and I repent. In other words, God, I chose to go to Tarshish, but now I am stopping, realizing that was the wrong decision. And I'm going to go back the other way. And the last words that he said as a part of his prayer, he says, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Any of us ever been there? We're at the bottom and you're like, I have no other answer. I have no other call to make than to God. My salvation, my life comes from him alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out on the beach. Now, can you imagine being a fisherman? Like, you got your little boat. You know, most of the fishermen, they have a little boat, one man, two man, maybe three man boat, and they're kind of doing their thing. They row out, they throw their nets over, they catch a few fish, they come up, and then all of a sudden, here comes this giant fish or whale, whatever it is, comes up to the beach. Here comes this guy, and they're like, well, haven't seen that before. Like, what's going on? All right. The Lord arranged for the fish to swallow him and then to also spit him out. Interestingly enough, it's almost as if Jonah's prayer changed God's mind. Like Jonah could still be in the whale. Like, we don't know. Like, what? And then here's the cool thing again in the midst of this. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. How many of you are in that place where you feel like God can't use you? That you're unclean, you're not worthy, you've whatever, and you're kind of like at this place, and you're like, God, I'm in the darkest place. And here's the cool thing is that God uses even our disobedience for His glory. But even then, in those moments where we repent, the Lord is waiting to invite us again to serve Him. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time and said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. The job hasn't changed. The call hasn't changed. But maybe Jonah has. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it. Again, it's a city of, it's over 120,000 people, large place. He walks the city, it seems like, kind of get the magnitude of it. Now, think about this. He's a darker complected guy, okay? He's Hebrew, and so he has an olive, darker complexion to himself. He's been in the belly of a whale for 3 days. When he gets spit out, he's probably been in some whale stomach acid. There's actually historical stories of similar things happening where guys have fallen off whaling boats and been swallowed by whales. And whether they find them a couple of days or a couple of hours later, and some are alive, some are not, when they cut the whale open and they find the people, they are bleached white. So join with me. This is some crisp conjecture. Is that here was a guy who got on the boat with a tan. He came out of the fish white, like bleached white. He's been spit out on the beach, and people recognize this. And so that story would spread, would it not? I mean, if you were at Galveston and somebody got spit out of a well, you'd be like, oh man, and you're running and telling everybody. So you can imagine that these people have seen this guy spit out. He's bleached white. The white dude is coming. And so he would look different, and he had a story to tell, because how many of us have been inside of a well? None of us. And he's coming to Nineveh. And so he shows up at Nineveh. The story would have followed him. And so again, here's the deal. God used Jonah's disobedience to give him more power and more authority before he even gets to the city. What? Because now here comes the white dude. He would have just been Jonah coming up and had to cultivate a story. Now people are gathering around this guy. Tell us the story about the whale. What were you doing for 3 days? What was Pinocchio like? I don't know. I mean, he's there. God uses even our disobedience for His glory. And so He walks into the city. And again, think about this. The Assyrians, they worship who? Dagon, the half-fish, half-man god. Nancy, the female goddess of the sea, they're like, whoa, look, our God is doing something. He's like, no, it's not your God, it's my God. It's Yahweh. To show you that your God is just the God that you've made. But the God who's made the whale ordered him to swallow me and to spit him out. And he shows up in Nineveh to tell a story. And on the day that Jonah entered in the city, he shouted to the crowds. Because you can imagine the stories there. They're gathering around. Man, this is YouTube, live stream, TikTok stuff. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. That's the story. That's the prophecy. 40 days from now, this place will be destroyed. And the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. The people heard Jonah. He had this credible story because of his experience, and people repented. Again, God uses Jonah's disobedience for His glory. His live stream was so successful, it tells us a little bit later on, that not only just the regular people repented, but the king of the Assyrians. It says he stepped down off of his throne, removed his royal robes, and joined his people in sackcloth and ashes. Listen, people, kings do not step down off of their thrones and remove their royal robes and get into the mess with their people unless they are moved by a story. They are moved by God. He relinquished his power and his authority and his identity to repent, which is what God calls us to do. We have the identity that we think we have. We have to pull ourselves off of our throne, off of our clothes, and to get in the mess and repent. And Jonah says, 40 days and the city is gone. And Jonah's enemies, listen, Jonah's heart is still like, take them out, God. They're my enemy. When God saw what they had done, how they had put a stop to their evil ways. That's repentance. They've been going one way, they stopped and they began to live a different way. God changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. So you'd think Jonah the prophet would be super excited. Jonah, God's vessel. Jonah had just been able to repent and receive God's mercy. Jonah had just been able to repent and to receive his grace. Jonah was in the bottom of a well and God could have destroyed him. You think he would be happy for other people, but he wasn't. It says this, the change of plans greatly upset Jonah and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Listen, this is so funny. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I bought the ticket to go to Tarshish, because I knew that you were going to do this. That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful, compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. God, I knew your character. That's why I didn't want to even be a part of it, because they're those people. Those are my enemies. And I knew that once they repented that you would be like, oh, they're not my enemies anymore, because that's your heart. Even though I've experienced it, God, I want your grace, I want your mercy, but not those people. Who are those people for you? I see it on your Facebook. We all have those people. God, give me what I want, but not those people. So Jonah says, just kill me now. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. No one, none, nada, however you want to say it, no perfect people are allowed. In our context here at Cross Point Church, there is never those people. If anything, we are those people. And God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this? Jonah, is it right for you to be angry that I showed grace and mercy? And so Jonah moves to the outside of town. He sets up a little shelter for himself. He just kind of some sticks, because his heart is still at that place. He's looking on the city and he wants it to be destroyed. And so he sets up a little shelter for himself and he's looking at the city and he's like, he's hoping and praying that God will do exactly what Jonah wants, not what he thinks God will do. And so in the midst of that, God, it says, the scripture says that God planted a seed and that seed grew rapidly, and leaves and a whole shelter covered the shelter that he had built and provided shade for Jonah. And Jonah was like, thank you, Lord, for the shade. But then also the Lord provided a worm, and the worm ate at the base of the plant, and the plant quickly died. And now Jonah didn't have shade. And he said, Lord, why would you do this to me? Why would you? And so Jonah became hot and bothered because God provided the shade, but God also took the shade away. And God says to him, do you have a right to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah reported, even angry enough to die. And then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I, the Lord, the God, Yahweh, The God that's provided you grace and mercy and compassion, shouldn't I feel sorry for those in that city? In some ways, God's saying, Jonah, what's your priorities? You say, I'm your God, but really you are. You want what you want when you want it, and if it's those people over there, they don't deserve it because you've determined their rights and their values and their worth, and you look at them and you judge them. Who's your neighbor, Jonah? Why are you against those people? Why are you resistant to those people? Romans chapter 2, Paul says it this way. Here's what's happening. You attack and criticize others and then turn around to commit the same offenses yourselves. Do you think you will somehow dodge God's judgment? Do you take the kindness of God for granted? Do you see his patience and tolerance as signs that he's a pushover when it comes to sin? Listen to this, grasp this here. How could you not know that his kindness is guiding our hearts to turn away from distractions and habitual sin and to walk a new path? God's kindness with us is that he's constantly trying to guide our heart away from the distractions, away from the Dagons, away from the idols, away from the things of this world that give us worth and value and that make us think that we're better or we have something that those people don't. And that somehow that we think we're worth grace and mercy of God and those people are not. When God's saying, listen, I'm the one that plants, I'm the one that takes away. You just be obedient. How are we like Jonah? Have you ever run away from God? I have. Have you ever been in the bottom with a well? I have. The need to repent. Here's the beautiful thing is God even uses our disobedience for his glory. He chisels a little bit more of us away so that we can have more and more of an appetite for him than for our purpose and our agenda. How are we like Jonah? Who are those people in your life? Who are the people that you've determined they're just not like me? They don't deserve, or whatever that thought and heart and mind process is. And what right and value do we have to determine the value and worth of someone else? None. Our call, like Jonah, is to go even to our enemies, go into the heart of the capital city of our enemies, to see who we think are our enemies, so that we can see the miracle of God and to see hearts and minds transformed. That's our call. May we be obedient even to those people. This morning, as we wrap up our time together, I want you to have an opportunity to respond. The front's open, candles in the back, cross over here, communion over here. There's even some of our prayer team, they're ready to receive you. So this morning, my question is, be obedient even to those people. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the story of Jonah. Thank you that his story reminds us of your grace and your long suffering and your patience, and even, God, that you arrange fish at the most opportune times to provide salvation for us. That, Father, for each one of us, as we were to break down our stories, that there have been moments where you arranged, maybe not a fish, but you arranged a friend, you arranged someone or something to interrupt and to provide salvation in that moment and to rescue us so that we had a moment to stop and to repent and to go back. Father, I pray for us in this room this morning that if we're in that place, if we need that repentance, may we just be removed from the fact that you're not surprised by our disobedience. You're not surprised by the fact that we're in the bottom of the ocean in a well. As a matter of fact, God, that you knew it was going to happen and you called us anyway. Father, continue to use us. May we be drawn back to you. And may we share the good news of Jesus Christ, even in the capital city of our enemies, even to those people. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.